B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And I'm sorry, I get. I'm sorry, but it hurts me. It hurts me. A guy that saves lives, and I'm sorry.
Pedro Martinez last night on MLB Network. Good morning. Welcome to Zolak and Bertrand.
Good morning.
I'm sure a miserable morning for many of you if you commute from the south on the red line.
Is what it
Holy
is.
Holy smokes.
Thanks for being with us. We'll
you
take
imagine
you, we'll get
just quickly
it.
Being caught on that train and feeling like you might tip over as it comes off the tracks? Just but teetering there?
I ain't getting on any trains. So I told you people.
This is it. The Seal Zoe, never getting on the train.
Well, he was just about to. He was going to take one tomorrow, but now that's off the table.
Like somebody's sitting there drinking her coffee, and the train goes off the thing, and then they spill all over themselves.
Tom was very upset with me. I made a joke about it, and Tom said people got hurt, and I shouldn't be laughing at them.
Well, the thing did
you didn't even
make,
all you made a joke about was did Tom
step on someone's toes,
get upset, and knock the train off the track. It was a joke about Tom. It wasn't a joke about the train.
It was a Hulk smash joke.
Right. Yeah.
Tom he got moved the train up.
And nobody got hurt, apparently. There were no injuries.
Good. But it just.
Hey, T-Bone.
All right, so that was Pedro last night on MLB Network as David Ortiz was being brought back from the Dominican. He is now here in Boston at Mass General Hospital. The Red Sox sent a medical jet that picked him up in the DR yesterday. And he landed here last night. He was then escorted by police from Logan Airport to Mass General. Quite the scene.
I mean, the story keeps going, too. And I think there's obviously a lot more information coming in on this. And I'm just talking about his condition. So he was stable enough to travel. I hope he was. And then you see pictures of his kid sitting outside. He looks so upset outside the hospital, sitting in a car. D'Angelo, he put a tweet out last night. I don't know if he's awake, if he's conscious, if, you know, they got him up here, whether to fear because of the type of medical care they have there as opposed to here or to fear for his life. But either way, get him up here, get him fixed and figure out what's going on inside him. And I think we just need to be cautious here till we hear from Mass General. You know, when they release a statement about whether he's stable or whether he's an ICU, you know, or maybe he's critical. I don't know. I think his health is still up in the air here, obviously. And I think there's major concerns. Like, they were expediting that ambulance last night. It wasn't just we'll just take a nice little cruise, make sure we don't have any bumps on the way. Like, they were ready to get him there.
It was a large police presence that escorted that ambulance.
A lot of cops.
Right?
A lot of police.
Do we read into that? Is that just because it's David Ortiz and he's freaking royalty in this town? Is that all that is?
I think it's part of it.
Or is that because of the medical severity of where he's at? Does that factor into that?
I don't know. I think
that there's a legitimate rush to get him from point A to point B because he's in bad shape and got to make sure that we get him over to Mass General as fast as we possibly can.
I don't think we jumped to any conclusions. I think a lot of people obviously listen to us. And I think it's just something that you need to monitor and we need to be careful with. Seriously. Because the story has changed 10 different times since you started to get this
I don't know
stuff.
The answer. I'm asking. It could be either or. It could just be because it's David freaking Ortiz, and we love the guy.
I mean, Doug Mirabelli got a control.
Well, he got a ride.
Yeah.
He was in the cruiser.
That's not normal. And I don't think it's because it's
I didn't think much of it, but I know some people did.
Yeah,
I know Jim saw it last night.
It looks like he was being rushed to the hospital.
And I know Jim wasn't alone because I know a lot of people commented on it, seeing it last night, and said, oh, wow, that's quite the presence that they had there to get that ambulance from the airport to the hospital.
My first initial reaction was the whole, like, this generation, this Twitter generation's typical responses. This is such, what are they doing? Why is such a big police escort? And then I stopped and said, maybe he's worse than we thought.
I don't know. Obviously, he went to different, you know, here different reports how like he wanted to go. They didn't go to the close hospital. He wanted to go to the further one. They're going 120 miles an hour. He gets there. There's no doctors there. It's just nurses. You don't know what kind of doctor treated him. So you hear the stuff about the internal bleeding, and you read a report yesterday when it started to come out. It's part of the intestines, part of his lower large intestines, his colon. You start thinking infection, internal bleeding. Like, did they rush him back and open him up to take another peek inside to see? Did they make sure they fixed
it? Oh, I bet he's not out of the woods surgery-wise.
I bet he went back under last night.
I don't know if it was last night, but I'm willing to bet
like they're waiting on him.
I'm willing to bet he's going to have another surgery at some point.
I mean, he was here in 24 hours from being shot. That's crazy.
It is insane.
That, with escort, yes.
That's a lot. That's a lot for the body to endure in a 24-hour period.
You and I saw a picture of him laying in the bed yesterday, post-operative.
Which is, again...
I would never put that on Twitter, but I mean, he barely had an O2 monitor
The facilities there versus what he's going to get here.
Have you ever been to ICU locally? And to see the amount of machines that you are hooked up to? And how archaic the bed looked.
I'm gonna go out and say the plane probably had better facility than the room he was in.
I would say that he was on the plane. He was probably had better equipment and care on the plane than he did while he was in the DR.
That's fair.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt that. He's obviously in a much better place now being here than he was there.
Like, there wasn't playing around. You know what? Let's see how it goes. Let's give it 5 days. And then if you need more care, we'll get him out of there. They got him out of here, like Jim said, in 24 hours from being shot. This looks concerning. I don't know. The more and more you look at it and you talk about it, they rushed him there. They got his ass out of there and up here quickly. That's not normal.
No, you're right.
I'm glad they have the means to do it.
The fact that they did you're right, within 24 hours tells you, I think, that it's definitely very, very serious. And they've, you know, if you heard Sam Kennedy yesterday and you heard everyone that spoke yesterday, you sort of get the sense that the stable part, which, again, is a word that they've tried to throw out there from the very beginning, whether it was his publicist or the doctors in the DR, they've kept wanting to throw this word stable out there, and I feel like they've done it to sort of calm the masses, but that it's been a little overused, right? That it's sort of, I don't know, it doesn't seem serious enough when they keep repeating that, it's stable.
Well, what's stable mean there?
Right?
But he was stable in ICU. He was in intensive care, but stable.
Okay.
So, but there's a difference between being like in a random room. Oh, we're out of intensive care. We're going to a normal room. We got to get observation, whatever. That's stable to me. But stable in ICU isn't really a thing, is it?
Stable but serious. Well, which is it? Is it stable or is it serious?
You have people.
That's what was being said yesterday. Stable but serious.
I mean, people have had relatives. And I have relatives. You go into ICU.
That means it's serious.
It's stunning. The amount of stuff and equipment that they have in legitimate hospitals. And to look at the pictures of where he was taken care of and to look at the amount of things they had to do to get him to stable. Like, you worry about infection, bleeding, internal bleeding. Like, you got the words internal bleeding. You better make sure you had that sewed up inside. So they got him out of there, and I think I wouldn't be shocked to hear, like, he went back under when he got here. So who knows? Just be careful with it.
Careful with what?
A lot of stuff flying around. The reports or anything. His health. News on his health. Like, don't think like, okay, he's back on the road to recovery and he's gonna be at the next Red Sox homestand.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Rolling him out there.
This is what I don't think you should do. Jump to the conclusion. Oh, he's fine. He's fine now. Right?
It could go up and down. Who knows?
This is still very serious.
Yes.
Just the fact that he's back here is great. The fact that he's at MGH is great. But I don't think you should just throw everything's good now. Everything's
automatically
great.
Assume everything's going to be fine.
I think he's probably still dealing with quite a bit here.
Yeah.
And there's still a lot that could go wrong, even though he is receiving the best care possible. I think there's still plenty that's going on there. And it was quite the scene last night. It definitely was quite the scene. I mean, getting rushed, getting on an airplane, getting put on the airplane, getting brought out of the clinic in the Dominican Republic with the number of people with the cameras and the sheets being held up outside the clinic as they rolled them out from the clinic to the ambulance.
Hey, sure, come on in.
To bring them to the airport. Here, it took them about 20 minutes to get them from the ambulance onto the airplane on the tarmac in the DR, and then they got them onto the plane, and then the 4-hour flight, and then the back end, obviously, here landing at Logan, getting him onto the ambulance and then the escort over to MGH.
Well, I think the concern and awareness to see guys get choked up like Veritek and Pedro.
Everybody yesterday.
This is not the GM from the Warriors crying over a torn Achilles here. Okay, we'll get to that. Everybody upset. And hearing Cora post-game last night talk about, yeah, you kind of get into the mix of the game and you're in the game and our thoughts are with David. And then, yeah, we got word and we're talking about on the bench that, okay, he landed. He's here. Like, their awareness in-game as to where is his location kind of tells you the severity of it, doesn't it? Like, we're worried.
Is that why Matt Barnes had a meltdown last night?
No,
is he using that as an excuse?
You were there. What was it like?
Is that Matt Barnes' excuse last night?
What did you call
that's
him?
No excuse, Matt Barnes. You sucked last night.
Yeah.
We don't get to use David Ortiz as an excuse.
Wait, way to throw it for Ortiz.
You melted down.
Yep.
Oh, so predictable.
You called it.
So entirely predictable that Matt Barnes was going to go out there and suck last night in a 2-1 game. 2 hours and 9 minutes into it, here comes Matt Barnes to blow up.
Pathetic.
You're 2019 Red Sox. Don't worry. Just because David Ortiz isn't doing well, we're still going to hammer the current team. 10 blown saves on the year.
They've gotten a pass quietly and locally here.
Don't worry.
A lot of other
don't worry.
Going
you're
on.
Not getting a pass this week because of David Ortiz.
It's going to be your show soon.
Matt
here.
Barnes.
Yep.
Dave Dombrowski. Just because they put you up on the podium yesterday doesn't mean you get a pass. Your bullpen still blows, Dave. More on David Ortiz. More on this story. There was a report yesterday in the Daily Mail as to why he may have been shot, and the investigation continues. There was an update from police and a statement that was actually out this morning from police in the DR answering some of the accusations about who may have shot David Ortiz a couple of nights ago in the Dominican, including was it a police officer? The police there have answered that question. We'll get to that coming up next here on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
He's Big Poppy. He's a big man and, great human being, not only being a great player, but, played the game right, from his DNA, from being a twin, all that he brought when he was here. But, this is... Excuse me. He's a dad. And, heart goes out to Alex and D'Angelo and his wife and him, the rest of his family.
Former Red Sox captain and former teammate of David Ortiz, that was Jason Veritek yesterday. Talking about David Ortiz. Yesterday, a couple of reports came out, first from the Daily Mail and then from the New York Post as well, and... you've got to take both of those with a grain of salt for this reason. They've both been wrong many times before. Both the Daily Mail and the New York Post.
Yeah.
They've been right before, too. But they've been wrong many times before as well. I would say their success rate is lower than other outlets. This is what I would say about both of these establishments. But they have been right, too. So take it with a grain of salt. But both of them reported that David Ortiz may have been targeted because he had been involved in a relationship with the wife of a drug lord in the Dominican Republic.
An unnamed drug lord.
So that report came out yesterday. That report has now been circulating and has obviously been out there for almost a day now. That the former Red Sox slugger was having an affair with the wife of a local drug lord who has not been identified in the Dominican Republic, and that is why he was targeted by the shooter, who, according to the report, backed by three sources in the Daily News, the Daily Mail, that is, sorry, the individuals involved in carrying out the act were police officers. Now, according to the story in the Boston Globe today, they write, back in the Dominican Republic, one suspect, Eddie Vladimir Feliz Garcia, remains in police custody. That's the guy we've seen in the videos.
Who got beaten.
Who was getting beat down in the streets before he was arrested. He was the getaway driver on a motorcycle.
So he was the guy that was pleading no pistola.
He right, was not the shooter.
To the beaters.
He was not the shooter. He was the guy who was the driver on the motorcycle. That was his job in all of this. He was the second guy involved. He was not the shooter. They write, while the alleged shooter, who was with Garcia at the time of the attack, is still at large. In a statement issued in Spanish on Monday night, the Dominican National Police said reports implicating one of their officers in the shooting are categorically false.
No.
Police said they were addressing the reports after the officer's name had publicly surfaced, which the officer's name has surfaced in online pictures on social media. There's a picture of an ID card that is circulated on Instagram and on Twitter.
Saw that yesterday.
Right, that's out there.
Yeah, it's been out.
And there are people saying, this is the guy. This is the guy who shot him. And there's, I mean, I don't know. There's nothing to back that up. I have no idea. How would you or I know? How would anybody know?
Nobody know.
So that is out there. And that's why they have now said, no, it's not this guy. This is not the guy who did it. But the Daily Mail is saying, yep, it was police officers, and David Ortiz was shot because he was involved in a woman with a woman who happens to be the wife of a drug lord. Yep. And there's another video that has surfaced online of said woman in what appears to be a hospital, yelling, kicking, screaming, etc. That's out there too, which would seem to sort of back up the Daily Mail report. That does exist. There is some video that does, in some way, shape, or form, corroborate their report. Appears to be at that clinic the other night.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there is...
So she was there, yes. There's some language that if you interpret it, you can't replay it on air.
Something along the lines of, nobody scares me. And she appears to be trying to fight another woman who's in the crowd. Although, whoever that other woman is, you can't make out who it is. So there's some smoke with that report. There's some smoke. Right?
Well, there was an attempted assassination.
The second
somebody's sitting there minding his own business and someone gets off a motorcycle, shoots him in the back, and runs away. Okay, there's smoke right
there. And there's
two guys
involved.
Robbery. You're sure?
Right.
And it's not a robbery. Okay, we know that 100%.
It's a hit on his life.
Yes.
And the more you watch this video, the more you become convinced there is no way that this was intended for anybody else there. That it was not intended for
the magic bullet theory that we had to call yesterday.
The guy, the rapper who he's sitting with,
right.
That there's no way it was him, that it was intended for David Ortiz, clear as day, that how could it possibly be for anybody else who was sitting there? Right? It was for him. They tried to kill David Ortiz. They weren't trying to kill anybody else there. They were after David Ortiz. Right. They had it out for him. And they had some sort of reason to go after David Ortiz. Whatever that reason is, remains to be determined. Some people have their theories. Some people even have their reports and believe they know the reason. Including the New York Post and the Daily Mail think they know it. Think they have it. And think that it was an affair that David Ortiz was having with the wife of a drug lord. That's what they believe the reason to be. So that's the first of the reasons we've been offered. That's what's out there. Here's a question I have. So this is what's out there. Obviously, already in mass circulation, all over everything. Is there a chance that we learn things during the course of this investigation of how David Ortiz came to get shot the other night that could make David Ortiz look bad or could make people think differently about David Ortiz? If you're involved in drug lords,
you have to
and
ask
you're getting
that question.
Okay,
you
shot
have to ask that question,
or who right? you're involved with, or yeah, I mean, I think it's just natural. You start thinking about if you're out at night and you've got guys, two murderers that are after you, you start thinking, well, who are you involved in? I mean, it's just a natural question. You just think about it. And my thought is, no matter what he's involved in, I don't think very many people are going to change their opinion of David Ortiz. I don't think I will. I really don't think I will. I think I'm biased. I think most of us are. I think most of us don't want to see him, you know, we're wishing that none of this stuff is true. That we're rooting for none of this stuff to be true. For David Ortiz to have nothing to do with any of it. That for it to be a horrible mistake. For it to be that they got the wrong guy.
It's tough.
Or for him to be a, like, complete, total victim in all of this. And that we will twist the story in our minds so that he is nothing but a victim in this. We're all biased on this because we love the guy. And so here's what I think. No matter what comes out in the course of this, I don't think it's going to change people's minds about David Ortiz.
I agree with you on that.
I think he's going to be pretty safe here no matter what.
Manny Ramirez was the greatest right-handed hitter that I've seen in my baseball watching time. And I know the guy took women's hormones, and whether it's steroids or not, I know he was nuts and he did crazy things. But I still looked at him and view him and think of him as the same type of right-handed hitter. Ortiz, from a clutch standpoint, he and Brady, and anybody that listens to our show know that he and Brady are like right there. From a likability standpoint, from a rooting standpoint, from a hero, a sports hero standpoint, that clutch gene, you'll never see two athletes in this city like that again. You could factor Bergeron in too, and I know it's different with him, but here's another thing. It's going to be interesting to see how it's reported. When information, and if information, like you said, this is ongoing, and I'm sure we're not just going to stop and hit a brick wall here, that you're going to end up hearing some stuff. Who reports it and how's it reported? I think it's tough for some of these guys that cover this guy to even want to hear anything related to this type of information. It's still kind of weird talking about it sitting here, but that's what we have to do. It's our job. 3 days ago, you looked at, not looked at, I don't know how to term it, like Ortiz, unscathed, right? Untarnished. If this is all true, this somewhat tarnishes the way people will look at him. And people outside here.
You think this will?
Hey, people let's hate assume Tom Brady.
Let's say this is totally true.
Okay.
It's completely true.
Yeah, he was having an affair with somebody and I believe we've known for a while he and his wife have either been estranged or been living.
At one point, they announced they were getting divorced. Yeah,
some kind of a less than perfect situation. He was having relations, consensual relations with another person, and that person's husband didn't like it and shot him. Does it change the way you think about him?
It doesn't change anything for me.
I've forever been, you know, when you're around baseball players and that type of life that they have.
Yes or no? Does it change your opinion of the guy?
No.
All right. So then that answers the question.
He's the most iconic sports guy. He and Brady. I told you. That's it. There's nobody else.
But you personally, forget about him being an icon. You personally, has it changed the way you think about David Ortiz?
No, it's weird sitting here talking about this because this is...
By the way, I have to butt in here. Marley Rivera has an update on David Ortiz.
Okay, here we go. Yes.
She just spoke with David Ortiz's spokesperson, Leo Lopez. I don't know if Leo is here or is in the Dominican, by the way. I don't know if he made the trip, but he has spoken to Marley Rivera. The latest on Ortiz is this. He underwent exploratory surgery upon arrival at Mass General last night. So there you go, Zoe.
Thank you.
I don't know if that meant fully opening him back up or, you know, with a camera.
You got to figure it out.
But they went and took a look last night upon arrival at Mass General last night. That surgery lasted until about 1 a.m. He was declared in stable condition. He is currently still in intensive care at Mass General.
So you understand now why the ambulance was moving quickly. Like, they had to get in there and look. They got to figure out what's going on. That tells you he's not great.
Ortiz is expected to be closely monitored for the next 24 to 48 hours, according to Rivera. Visits will be very limited during this period. Doctors have said that they expect a full recovery. Ortiz has also been alert. He's talked to his family and even flashed that smile.
That's great.
That is the latest update from Marley Rivera. Sounds like maybe they did a decent job sewing him back up down there in the Dominican. How about that? So that is the latest. That's what Marley Rivera has from David Ortiz's spokesperson,
it's like MacGyver
Leo Lopez.
Yeah, fix it with a butter knife and a rubber band. Let's go. Let's get the glue in here.
I have started to wonder about every possible angle on this.
No kidding.
I was thinking yesterday, I'm like, I wonder, like, did they use the right stitches? You know,
was it sanitary?
Did they use the right, you know, what's the grade of the stitching they use there versus what they're using at Mass General Hospital? Or, you know, you start thinking about all these things.
The story about them looking for blood was the worst to me. It's like, oh, my God, they don't have blood?
B positive. They didn't have any B positive. They're looking around for B positive down in the Dominican.
No doctors are. And when you go to get your teeth cleaned, you're sitting in the chair next to the dental hygienist. She opens up this package.
The fresh package
of fully sterilized. You know, things that I'm thinking, do they do that there? Or they just have a bunch of scalpels sitting in a cup? Yeah, put that rusty one away.
Like, you know, the barber shop where they put the combs
in the barberside.
Yeah, barberside.
Like, oh, just, hey, you know what? Give me a bottle of vodka. Let's just pour this on. Hell, here. Let me wash my hands.
Or rub an alcohol on there beforehand.
Give me some of that rum. Rum. Wash my hands off. Ooh.
You know, a little bottle of hand sanitizer.
No, man, it's
we're
crazy.
Good. Doctor, scrub down.
That's some Purell.
Little Purell. Okay. Stop. And away we go.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. We got full lines. Why don't we jump to your calls right after these headlines? Here's Hardy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
Got a lot of emails coming in, a lot of calls we're going to get to right now, too.
Which we appreciate.
Got one from Mathematic.
Like that. Mathematic.
Mathematic says, standard procedure to go lights and sirens from Logan to MGH. He's done the plane calls. It's not indicative of his condition. Also, he's a VIP. I think we were referring more about the police presence and the escort. Not so much the lights and sirens.
Oh, was he in surgery last night till 1:30?
It felt like there were like eight. I don't know. I didn't count. But it felt like there were quite a few police cars and motorcycles in that escort that he got there.
Motorcycles going ahead, blocking traffic.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
So they were concerned with getting him in and getting him under the knife to do a little exploratory surgery till 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
They didn't push that off till this morning, huh?
Yeah. Another email, a different Matt. Another Matt says, the reason for the police escort from the airport to the hospital was for David Ortiz's safety. He was the victim and target of an assassination. I think there's some truth in this one, by the way.
Well, I think your awareness is up now with this individual.
And yes. I think we should consider this, though. I think part of the reason why the Red Sox probably wanted him out of the DR so fast was not only for the medical care. Get him the hell out of there before whoever tried to kill him tries to kill him a second time.
Did it seem pretty easy for anybody to just walk up to the ambulance or to walk up to that hospital and just get in down there?
Seems sort of exposed.
Yeah. You're out in the open down there.
His safety might still be in danger. If someone went after him in Boston without police, people would ask why weren't police with him? It's a fair question. He writes, I'd be shocked if there was not a police presence with him right now, as would I. I'm sure there is definitely a police presence, if for no other reason than to keep all the, you know, people away from people that just want to get a look at David Ortiz. So absolutely, without a doubt. Let's go to your phone, 617-779-0985. Andrew in Milton. Hey, Andrew.
Yeah, I've got nothing. You took my thunder. That email was my exact call. Have a good day, guys.
Okay.
Thanks, Andrew.
Well, nice talking to you, Andrew.
Nice.
Andrew's typically a good caller. We hadn't heard from him in a while.
Yeah.
Andrew, don't be a stranger. Tom is in Winthrop. What's up? Tom, go ahead.
Tom?
Yeah.
Tom.
Is that you?
I'm not Tom. I'm Marco. But you stole my thunder.
Hold on a second.
You're a real thunder stealer this morning there, Beetle.
Beetle. Yeah, good job, Stone Thunder.
How do you go from Marco to Tom on the call screen? How did that happen?
His name was in the system at that phone number as Tom, so the intern didn't ask him what his name was.
Marco, go ahead.
Maybe you're right. Maybe they took him out of there because they're going to whack him like Hyman Roth in The Godfather.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I gotta watch that movie again.
Well, they tried to get to Vito Corleone in the hospital, too, but then Michael showed up with a little help from Enzo the Baker.
What?
Or is that Enzo the Baker's son?
No, it was he brought the flowers. Remember? They brought
the flowers. Here's what I want to say.
For your father.
Don't watch it on AMC with commercials. Don't do that.
Why?
It's the worst.
Well, Michael did the hit. Who was the ball guy?
You can't watch The Godfather with commercials.
Oh, how long is it with commercials? Like 6 hours?
It takes the whole day.
He's eating the veal. We got the nice veal chop.
Is that what it is? AMC? AMC has commercials, right? Is that the station I'm thinking
they
of?
They do, but it's uncut.
How's food here? Try the veal. It's the best in the city.
I'll have it.
I don't know if they really thought he was going to be... At least in the Dominican Republic, I can see that because it had already happened once.
Right.
But doesn't that bring us back to if they wanted him dead, why didn't they shoot him in the head?
Well, when you get the information coming in, too, that it's cops or former cops or the cops or the law enforcement down there is tied into this,
I think whoever was put up to it didn't want to go through with it, is what I think. In fact, if anyone's life is in danger now, I'd say it's the kid who didn't go through with it, who didn't finish the job.
Oh, I wouldn't expect him to last very long.
I wouldn't either. Do you think they're actually going to find that kid?
I thought you were talking about the one that they already have.
No, the other one.
Well, either one.
The one who actually did the shooting and didn't probably do it to the expectation of the person who ordered it.
How did the one that did the shooting get away?
Well, they crashed the motorcycle, so he went off on foot. The other one was probably pinned under it, and by the time
so he got back got on the there, motorcycle, and they made it some distance away from the bar,
maybe
it was stopped.
Yeah,
or he jumped off and said, "I'm out of here."
Adam in Dover. Hi, Adam.
Hey, am I on?
Yes, yeah. You are.
Hey, so I know you were talking about, you know, how the media is going to portray this. So what if you look on the optimistic side and, you know, Poppy being the great guy that he is, you know, happenstance, meets up with this woman, right? And she wants out. And now he's trying to extricate her from this situation that she's kind of found herself in and put himself at risk. Enshrines his legacy as a hero even more.
I would say that's very low percentage.
Yes.
Just based on what the... acceptance is there?
Yeah, man, he stumbles. Imagine, think of it this way. It's Scarface, right? But instead of Tony Montana meeting Elvira and getting her away from the drug lord, it's a good guy. It's a knight in shining armor.
So Tony wasn't good for her?
I'm saying, like, you know, Tony would be another and bad
Frank,
guy.
Frank is nothing.
But you know,
Frank is to be
some
dead.
Good guy comes along and meets Elvira and says, "I'm gonna take you away from all this, Frank. He's no good for you.
You want babies? You like you like children?
Yeah. If there's a nurse,
you like kids. I like kids. I want lots of kids running around. Yeah. This gonna make me watch mob movies, though.
I just don't know how, you know, he comes out of this completely unscathed, but to what degree is his reputation or image tarnished?
If he's involved,
I'm just telling you, it's going to be really hard to tarnish it.
If he's
going to be really hard.
Well, unless there's drug issues. Like, if you're involved with drugs, I'm just like, hear me out here. So say he
all right,
is.
So what
say
level
he was
of involved,
with this woman.
What does that mean when you say involved with drugs? Like, what would he have to be involved in?
Like, maybe he's deeper into this. I hope that this is wrong place, wrong time. Like, boy, I hooked up with the wrong woman, and I paid for it. I knew nothing of who this guy was, or who she was, or who she was tied to. Supposedly, there's reports like he was warned that his life is in jeopardy. Like, they're after you. Be careful. But then you keep going back there. You go back there, and then you sit in an open cafe. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm just thinking, like...
By the way...
There is wrong place, wrong time. People have stepped into... Oh, with your, I didn't know.
With your back to the street.
And maybe he didn't know. Maybe he had no clue. And maybe he did. Like I said, there's going to be information coming out. See who reports it.
If there were threats on his life that he knew about, he wasn't taking them very seriously. That's what that says to me.
Or you're such a large figure there, like Pedro. Like they say, he and Pedro they run that island. It's theirs. They are kings there. You just feel you're untouchable. Like, everybody loves him. That's why we like him. A guy can walk down a street, and that's a guy you feel you go up to, hey, give me a hug, you know? The Dan Roach effect. Like, damn, I love Big Poppy. You know, Dan Rose said, he always puts a smile on my face. Who doesn't put a smile on Dan's face? You know? You feel untouchable. Like the Hernandez stuff. You hear that? Well, why don't you get him out of Connecticut? Why does he keep going back there? Because you always feel at home. You're safe. And that's what you know. That's the crowd you run in.
And I'm glad you brought that up. So we can, you know... There's been some disparaging of the Dominican, Republic as being like, you know, the root of all evil in this. No, this can happen anywhere. This can happen in any neighborhood, in any country. If there, you know, if there's a bad element there.
100 yards outside this building.
Yeah, if there's a bad element somewhere, you don't have to go to a, you know, an island nation that, you know, you came from in order to, you know, find that trouble again. We've seen too much evidence of it in this town with other players. You know, I've heard that. Enough times over the last few days. What's he doing back in the Dominican? I don't know.
Oh, because that's the only place you can get shot in this world.
Like, well, but people have been saying that. Like, what are you talking about?
Please. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. We are going to talk to Billy Jaffe, get an update on the Bruins. We are one day away from game number 7 of the Stanley Cup Final tomorrow night. Dan Shaughnessy will be with us in studio starting at 11 a.m. We will, of course, be talking David Ortiz with Shaughnessy coming up, so don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
I believe it. I do. I think our team has been through these moments. I'm not going to speak to their team. I don't know how they're going to react. I assume they'll play their same game, play hard, but I don't know them as well as I know our group, so our composure, I'm sure, will be there. I think it's dealing with the adversity as well. Who scores first? How do you react to that? I think that's one of the areas that you got to be able to deal with if it's not your team. And then discipline in those little battles. Discipline in your forecheck routes. There's discipline all over the ice, not just the physical part of it, but how you play the game.
Welcome to the Funky Zone. Hey.
Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Welcome in from Nesson. Billy Jaffe joins us ahead of Game 7 tomorrow night. Billy.
Beto, what's up?
How you feeling?
What's up, Bill?
How you feeling about Game 7? How do you feel about the Bruins' chances to win this? And do you think there's any carryover from Game 6 the other night?
I'll start with the last one. I don't think there's any carryover at all. Are you talking about the end of the game? Or are you talking about the momentum of
winning? I'm talking about the momentum of the win.
Yeah. Nah, no, I don't think there is much carryover. We just haven't seen it game to game. And in many of the series, in fact, not just the Bees, but how about other people too? You know, our other series too. We haven't seen a lot of that this year. You know, with that said, of course, the Bruins go in saying, again, we play our game, we're better, but we've seen that in this series not to be always the case, hence the 7-2 win and then the loss the next game. I feel good. I feel good about the Bruins. I feel confident. I don't feel cocky about it or arrogant about it because I do understand what St. Louis can be about. The thing that concerns me, there's two things about St. Louis that concerns me. One is their resiliency this year, especially in the playoffs. They have been able to come back after bad efforts, after less than, you know, optimal performances and win. And the other thing is, I think they're going to run. Man, I think they're going to run around an awful lot tomorrow night. Guys got to keep their heads up.
How much did the Bruins improve on what they did or what they, you know, I know there's no carryover from game to game, but it seems like head on a swivel the other night. They were worried about the back end. They cleared the puck. They got rid of it. And I know guys are starting to come around, but, you know, Pasternak, Marchand, you get these guys going. The questions are tough. I mean, what differently do you do in this game? Do you go with the same lineup that you had, or do you lead back up on a ninth floor?
You know, my initial intuition is you go with the same lineup. You see what the speed of Carson Kuhlman did in Game 6. You understand that, you know, he tracks pucks down here. As I like to say, he's the puck hunter. He gets to him. He allows DeBrusk. There's a lot about timing. So it's not much different than football at times. You know, you may have one guy who's faster than the other, but they got to work in sync. And, you know, Coleman's a straight line skater, DeBrusk straight line, powerful. They seem to have some good chemistry going out there, reading off each other. You heard Bruce Cassidy in that soundbite talking about routes that you take on the forecheck. The two of them seem to do that real well, at least in Game 6. So here and now in practice isn't for about another 30, 40 minutes or so. I think that you go with the same lineup. Obviously, we'll have to wait and see what's up with Matt Grizzly. Is he cleared? Is he not? That could be, as Bruce called him yesterday, a wild card. With regard to changing other things, I mean, in Game 6, their speed through the neutral zone was better. And if you just remember in the first period alone, where they even the top line guys, you mentioned Pasternak and Marchand, what did they do with the puck a few times, though? They dumped it. They chipped it. They didn't try and handle it. It was literally the difference between a 1.5-second decision at times And by putting it into an area where they can continue their pace, continue their pursuit, they were able to create more instead of trying to do it on their own.
Billy, would you put Matt Grizzlick back in for Game 7 if he's cleared?
I think I would. I think I would. The question today is, it's not just clearing him. I mean, of course, that's the obvious thing, Hardy, but it's also, can you really run him today in the sense of, when I mean run him, can you get it? You see that his legs feel good. You see that, you know, that he is close to game shape. He's been out, a week now? That's a long time. In
almost two. Terms,
but is it almost two?
It'll be a day short of 2 weeks by Thursday. You know, we talk about long layoffs, and couple that with the fact that John Moore looked pretty good in game six. I don't know that I would put him back in.
It's like, too, it's
John's been great.
You know, it's like Kevin Durant. You know, you put him in and he gets knocked out early. All of a sudden you end up hurting him more. Say you put Grizzlick in, you clear him, takes a tough shot to the head first 5 minutes, and then he's done. Like, you worry about that. Or when he's cleared.
Of course you always worry about anybody, like, you know, getting hit like that again, who's just coming off one. We understand the ramification of what that means, not just for this game, but more importantly, you know, not to get to his life. As well, I get the point. If there's a confidence in that, though, that he is, you know, I don't follow basketball that enough, but there never seemed to be this confidence that Durant was that healthy. It was always like he can. The Bruins won't do that. The league won't allow it either with regard to the head. If he's cleared, he's cleared, and then you go. Anybody can get hit up high. In particular, it seems like a lot of these guys are going to get hit up high because that's where St. Louis likes to finish. That's part of it. Now they don't. I don't think they mean to hit in the head. But tomorrow they're gonna have that take no prisoners approach. I get what you guys are saying. Johnny's been good the last two games, so it's a tough decision. You know, I'll call in tomorrow morning after practice today, and I'll see how he is.
No, seriously, that would be good to see how he looks and what the legs are like, and if you have any indication. Okay.
Well, Heinen looks really good right now too. You know, so.
We talk so much about these lines. We talk so much about who could be in, who could be out. But at the end of the day, Billy, does this come down to one guy, and is that one guy Tuukka Rask?
I think that is a major, major, major yes. Major component. It, because what it comes down to is, like, you know, you see the save early in the game the other night, right? That right leg hat save. Everybody talked about how that moment showed me. Heck, I was just working out here at the New Balance Club. Coach Scott, the manager, the guy, he says, I knew he was on. Everybody sees that Tuukka's on, and everybody sees his focus, Hardy, Beetle, right now. His focus is phenomenal. I mean, his it's not even in his zone. It's his command of the ice is just so impressive. We don't get to see a performance like this often from any goaltender, let alone a Bruin goaltender. I mean, his focus and his control, there's not a lot of luck to his game. He's on it right now. So, yeah, Beetle, when it's all said and done, if the big guy is on in net, there's a good chance the Bruins are going to win.
All right, Billy. Appreciate the time, as always. We'll talk to you soon.
Guys are the best. Talk to you later.
See you, Billy.
All right, Billy. Billy Jaffe joining us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Dan Shaughnessy is standing by. He will join us coming up after these headlines. There are no commercials here, so don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bluffed by Binnington. He puts it down and the horn sounds. The Boston Bruins roar in front of the St. Louis Blues with 4 goals in the third period. Rask was terrific. The penalty killer's magnificent. And the Boston Bruins have forced a Game 7 on Wednesday that'll take place at TD Garden to decide the Stanley Cup.
Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, is with us. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Beetle.
How you doing?
Good. Hi, Zo.
So, coming up tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bluffed by Bennington. He puts it down and the horn sounds. The Boston Bruins roar in front of the St. Louis Blues with four goals in the third period. Rask was terrific. The penalty killer's magnificent. And the Boston Bruins have forced a Game 7 on Wednesday. That'll take place at TD Garden to decide the Stanley Cup.
Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, is with us. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Beetle.
How you doing?
Good. Hi, Zo.
What's up, coming up tomorrow, win a pair of tickets to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. Toucher and Rich are giving them away with live music, cornhole, Connect Four.
Corn cob. Maybe a long way.
Never know. Other games. Someone in attendance is walking away with the hottest tickets in town. They're doing it tomorrow morning from 6 a.m. until 9 a.m. in the parking lot here at the Sports Hub.
There's no structure to this. It's just going to be pure chaos.
55 Morrissey Boulevard.
So if you want to get weird tomorrow.
Take the red line to the JFK stop and cross your fingers that the train doesn't derail.
Choo-choo.
By the way, the MBTA said they were re-railing the train a few minutes ago. That's how they phrased it. They're re-railing it. Did they get it back on the track?
Well, no, that's I'm glad they used that because derail is one of those words. It's like, well, is everything ever railed? But yes.
Well, yeah.
And in this case, they're re-railing it.
Like, what do you get for it? Okay, say you're on that car.
It's like if you debunk something, well, I'm going to bunk it. I'm going to prove it right. No one ever says they're going to bunk something.
Yeah, that is bunk.
Debunk it. They're derailed. Good. They're going to rail it. They're going to re-rail.
The good news is that if you take the red line and you take it to JFK, the train will derail there, and then you're already there, and you can get right off and be at the Sports Hub.
Take an Uber from here.
Right? I mean, that's where the derailment issue seems to be.
Walk right over.
Get off the track, and then they'll let you off the train there anyway in the event of an emergency.
I appreciate you trying to look on the bright side of this, but you know, overall I'd say it's better if the train stays railed.
Can you climb out the window?
Do I have to take the red line in?
So get railed, get to the Toucher and Rich rally from your home of the Bruins, 98.5 the Sports Hub.
What's that, Jim?
Tomorrow morning.
Can I park here? Do I have to take the red line in?
No.
Why can't you? It's your parking lot.
I wouldn't take the
not tomorrow, it's not our parking lot.
The entire parking lot?
That seems like a problem.
Well, you can have like live bands work and stuff. Here. Like they have a marching band. Parades?
Not yet.
And you wonder why the rest of this building hates us.
Well, then have them come up with ideas to do
something.
Wonder
why.
Maybe they should use the old Globe lot. There's plenty of space over there.
The gate is open.
The old 56, WLVI's parking
like
lot
Nagasaki
is wide open.
Jim, it's easy. You park on the other side of the building. It's wide open over there. Whole other parking lot on the other side.
All right, Dan, let's talk about the Bruins in Game 7. You ready for it? Were you in St. Louis for the last game?
Yes.
You've been traveling?
Every game in St. Louis.
And what's your big takeaway from this so far?
I mean, the series deserves a Game 7, and it's like, I love the series. There's been no carryover. That's what we have to be careful about, because every time you think you got it figured out, it goes the other way, which is why it's dangerous, because the Bruins could not have been much better than they were in Game 6. Great stand-up game for them. But I know how I felt after the 7-2 game 3.
Yeah.
And it was like, man, oh man. Next thing you know, they lose. They don't even have a lead the next two games in 4 and 5. Never led. So when Marchand hit the one-timer to lead game 6, I'm thinking, oh, this has got a different vibe now. And it did. It was great. So
you have any friends at the St. Louis Dispatch?
Oh, my God. We sort of hooted on them.
Yeah. Well, how can you hoot on them? You guys put the Globe cover out on Brady's.
It was, that did. This had published the letter from the owner saying,
how do you
we're excited about the parade. We'll all be able to say we knew where we were, what we were doing the night we won. You know, it was all, and again, everybody prepares those things. Those ads are all prepared for the Thursday Globe, I'm sure.
No, but if you're the owner, you don't, like, penning that, you got to have a weird feel about it, right? Seriously.
It was, and it leaked out in the afternoon. So people with the, I guess it was the e-edition of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch that if you subscribe, you were reading that in the morning on Sunday about the parade, how great that we won this thing.
Oh, you got to have some plan. I don't care about the parade plan, right. but like the congratulating fans that it's for you. And
it was all over the
top. You got to reserve space for a party. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, you got to do that.
But you don't send that out.
It was, and it's just somebody hit the button, and it there it went.
I'm talking about prior to hitting the button. You don't even write that. Write it until after the fact. But
he had it done. He was ready.
Dan, I know that you wrote about the fact, we've talked plenty about this year, that if the Bruins win tomorrow night, it will be three championships that the city has won.
Beetle, this keeps getting better.
And this, to me, feels like a point that is not even really registering this
week. Well, there's been so much else going on, and even within the Bruins series, within that series, it's gotten lost a little bit about the overarching, the totality of it, even to the point of last night's NBA game went the right way. Because if the Bruins win tomorrow, then you can also say that the Boston team has consecutively won every championship, the World Series, the Super Bowl, and the Stanley Cup.
You got three
back
three.
To back to back. Yep. There hasn't even been another one. You know, I mean,
I hadn't even thought of that.
Yeah, there was a little bit.
I didn't even think of that.
A little bit of beauty in the fact that Toronto did not clinch last night, because now you're going to be able to say World Series, Super Bowl, Stanley Cup, back to back to back. No other championships. They all went to Boston, just like that. 7.5 months. I mean, I'm sorry. Knock yourself out. This is the high level that we're at here. That's why tickets are so valuable. That's why it's such a big deal. And I think you already know, Game 7, for all the marbles, in Boston. The last one is Cedric Maxwell.
35 years ago.
Get on my back, boys. Yep, and that was one of the greatest playoffs ever. It's Magic Larry, all the stuff that happened. It's so rare to have in your town a Game 7 for the championship. We've had Game 7s for, you know, early rounds.
Vancouver.
Game 7s on the road in Vancouver. Yep. But
Toronto, right?
You know, I mean, the Sox, I've done the Game 7 numbers. The Red Sox lifetime are 3-6. They lost 4 World Series in Game 7 in like a 40-decade period. They had a couple wins in Game 7 against Cleveland. They beat Cleveland in the 07 ALCS. That was at home. It's very rare. But for a final, which is what we're looking at, a Game 7, I think Boston teams are 40-28 in Game 7s. It's owed to the Celtics, primarily.
That's pretty good, though.
Yes. The Bruins, I think, are 15-12. The Sox, I know, are 3-6. And the Celtics, I think, do the math, it's like 22-10 or something like that, because Russell never lost.
Yeah,
they didn't
lose
one until 73. First time they lost a Game 7. Russell was undefeated in Game 7s. So, and we got it here at the Garden on a Wednesday night. It's just, I don't know. And it makes your head explode how much is going on. But, yes, and the facts are that the Detroit, 80 years ago, had the Tigers, the Lions, and the Red Wings all were champions simultaneously. There's a lot of ambiguity about New York because of the 69 Mets and the Joe Namath Super Bowl.
Doesn't count.
It doesn't work. It didn't happen because I got to get this straight here. The Mets were world champions in 69. Namath won the Super Bowl in 69, but then the next Super Bowl was won in 70 before the Knicks won. There was another Super Bowl champ, and it's the Chiefs. The Chiefs were the Super Bowl winners in between the Mets and the Knicks. So they did not have all three at once. So just to clear that up.
Not consecutive.
No.
Doesn't matter.
You would have the reigning champion in three sports. And you will have also consecutively won the World Series, the Super Bowl, and the Stanley Cup Final.
Which is foolish. And I think we're just sort of forgetting it. We've become so accustomed to this.
I want it so bad. I want it so bad because I want people outside of here to hate us so much more. I do. Like, they lose tomorrow night. It's going to be like, from a national perspective, I know people view hockey differently in this country. But it's still, you get to rub it in our face again. Like, that's three straight for Boston.
Oh, my God.
Just the Boston factor of it. You want it because of that.
Hockey doesn't have the cachet of the other sports, but the Stanley
Cup
Final
like that pregame and intermission the other night? Yeah, it was good.
It's the best trophy. Stanley Cup's the best trophy.
It's the coolest wrap-up, I think, when the captain takes it and he gives it.
And the Bruins have never won a Game 7 Cup Final on their own ice. I mean, they've won two games. They've won two cups in Boston, 1939 and 1970 Bobby Orr, but neither one was a seventh game.
And now you've got a seventh game at the Garden with the Bruins a chance to win.
It's the whole McGill.
It's got everything. Everything about it. 617-779-0985. Mark in Medford on the Bruins. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, guys. Now, we all established that the St. Louis is a dirty team, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Now, Chara took himself out with the block shot, but we lost two defensemen in this series, and both games we lost. Now, is St. Louis dirty enough? But more importantly, are they stupid enough
to take out another defenseman knowing that with five defensemen, they can beat us.
Well, that's been
the one thing I'm worried about.
That's
because
the plan.
There'll be no repercussions until the season starts next year, even if somebody gets thrown out of the game.
Hey, as we know, I am not Mr. Hockey. You watch these games, that's the plan. They want them with 5D at the end of the game. And again, the Chara thing, they did not make that happen. They're trying to take Krug out at the beginning of every game. I mean, he is a pinata in this thing, right from game one when they pulled him down in front of the goal. But yeah, I think that's a strategy. When the Bruins have finished with 5D, they lost two of those games.
Mark and Medford, we're getting all the regulars, man. This is his time, hockey time, baby.
Hockey time.
We need Devin Danvers again today.
No, man. I don't know that we do. Vinny's in Revere, Vinny.
What's up, boys?
Hey, Vin.
Hey, listen, I know we talked about this a while ago, like how the ownership is a big reason for the success in the city, and obviously fans force owners, in my opinion, to put out good teams. But how much of it is really on the mentality of the city as a whole? Like, in other words, you know, we demand it. You know, it's we just want good quality out there. Like, how much of the success really is on the fans, the media? Where do you rank all the other success coming from?
I don't know, some, but for too many years, the fans demanded it and wanted it and didn't get it. So, I mean, I don't know.
You got to give ownership a lot of props in this thing. And
I would agree.
Everybody hates the Jacobs and all that stuff, and we got our own John Henry issues. But, I mean, the fact is that Bob Kraft and the Henry owners and Jacobs in the last 15 years, they've been great owners.
It's a challenge to keep it going, too.
Right. I mean, didn't fans demand it and get angry and get pissed off before John Henry bought the team about the Red Sox, and they didn't get what they wanted from them?
I mean, the
Red
Sox,
they just got pissed off all the time. They didn't get the results.
We're mad at them now, but they have the highest payroll in baseball. It's not for – they won't spend money. I mean, you can get on them on the other stuff. They spend money. And obviously the football ownership has been, you know, just about perfect, you know, for 20 years now and everything you could want.
617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls on both the Bruins, Game 7 coming up tomorrow night, and David Ortiz. We'll start to get some thoughts from Dan Shaughnessy on that. Dan Shaughnessy, of course, being someone that David Ortiz once said he'd like to kill.
He did write that.
He did in his Players Tribune.
He said, do you feel threatened?
He said he wanted to kill Dan Shaughnessy. Don't we all at times?
I had forgotten. Someone said that.
I mean, everybody has probably said that at one time in their life. Yeah, I want to kill that guy.
Big club.
Yes. All right. We'll get to that coming up, though, so don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.